May the Lord help us to commence this evening's service with hymn number 668. Jehovah God, eternal Lord most high, permit a worm to bow before thy throne, a worm deserving endless misery, but please the blood that did for sin atone. 668.
May the Lord help us to read the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17, and the second chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownedst him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold I, and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things he behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. Lord, in thy mercy thou hast spared us and enabled us to gather together once more around thy word. We do pray for thy help, that our meeting may be to thy honour and glory, and to the good of our never dying souls. Lord, thou knowest our insufficiency for these things. We do pray that thou wouldst be our sufficiency. Lord, that thou wouldst give to us right thoughts, that thou wouldst grant to us a spiritual understanding of thy word, that thou wouldst grant to us a new heart and a new spirit, that we might feel our need of these things, that we might fear thee, that we might rightly tremble before thee and at thy word. We do pray, Lord, for contrition, the blessed grace, which like all graces, flows alone from Christ through his redeeming work and sacrifice. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst make us truly broken-hearted. Lord, do grant that repentance which thou art exalted, Lord Jesus, in heaven to give, and that forgiveness. O Lord, do grant to us the spirit of prayer to really seek these things. Lord, do grant us the exercise which is of thee, which will not die out. O Lord, we confess with shame, Lord, our very best exercises of ourselves, how abortive they are. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. Lord, we plead thy word. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. O Lord, do work in us that which is well-pleasing in thy sight, that repentance that needeth not to be repented of, that prayer of faith which shall save the sick and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. O Lord, for none can keep alive his own soul. Let my soul live, that it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. O Lord, do grant to us that warmth to deliver us from our lukewarmness. Thy own zeal, Lord Jesus, to deliver us from our sluggardliness, our sloth. Thy own love, to conquer our enmity against thee and our love of sin. O Lord, do grant that faith to loosen us from the bonds of our unbelief. O Lord, do then have mercy on us. Do give to one right words to speak this evening as we may be spared. Oh, we do pray, blessed Holy Spirit, do descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are thine. Thou knowest, Lord, how they've come. Lord, thou knowest, but no voice but thine can reach their hearts savingly, effectually. Lord, thou knowest that they need the blood applied, the blood of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. Oh, do apply it, Lord, we pray, to the wounds that sin has made. The wounds, Lord Jesus, that thou hast made them feel. When thou dost wound them with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, because their iniquities were increased. Lord, oh, do turn and heal them. Draw them to thee, Lord. We read in thy word at eventime, they were brought unto thee all manner of afflicted cases, and thou didst heal them all. Oh, do give us faith now to plead that thou wouldst do it this night. Thou wouldst heal, Lord, the afflicted cases of thy people. The blind, Lord. Those who cannot feel they can honestly say what thy servant Paul wrote, but we see Jesus. Those, Lord, that long to see him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Do open their eyes. Bless them, Lord, with that blessed vision by faith. Lord, that they may see in his face all their sins forgiven. And in seeing him, loathe themselves as Job did. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. O Lord, and the deaf, those, Lord, that long to hear thy voice, those that hear thy word read, read it themselves. But, Lord, they seem to their mind and feelings deaf. Lord, oh, do grant hearing, the hearing of faith. And the lame, Lord, those that feel so poor in their walk, those that are ready to halt, those that have halted. But thou hast said, I will assemble her that halteth. Lord, we pray, have mercy on those that feel to have come to a dead halt tonight and can go on no further. Lord, come. And help them to lean upon thee. And so go on. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? O Lord, help us. Draw near, Lord. It's only to a near one that we can lean. Oh, draw near, Lord. Oh, come and bear our burdens. Come, Lord, and hold us up. Remember us then and be with us. Oh, those that are afflicted with hard hearts, those that are afflicted with breathlessness, prayerlessness, Lord, those that are afflicted with the sore assaults of the enemy, Lord, for we read there were such among those people that were brought to thee, possessed with devils, and thou didst cast them all out. Oh, do deliver us from this unruly throng that fill our heart. Lord, the vain thoughts, the sins, Lord, the enmity, the pride, the lust, the worldliness, the idols. Lord, the voices that speak there. Lord, cast them all out, we pray. Remember, as we would pray once more for this church here, and the church is represented here on this occasion. Do good to Zion. Bless, Lord, we pray. Oh, forsake her not. Oh, in mercy, come and visit thy plantation. Lord, we need the gracious rain of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, the plants languish. Lord, there are very few springings up. The blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. Lord, we pray for the return of the Spirit. There might be real conversion work. There might be growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, there might be that springing up. The work of grace in sinners' hearts. Lord, that the churches may be maintained. Thy name might be honoured and glorified. Thine elect saved. O Lord, in mercy, stem the tide of sin. Lord, oh, we do plead, grant that repentance to which thou dost call thy people in the book of the Revelation, saying, except they repent, I'll remove the candlestick out of its place. Lord, grant repentance from our worldly conformity. Grant repentance, Lord, from our formality, our lukewarmness. Grant repentance, Lord, from our goings from the turnings to the right hand or to the left. O Lord, grant repentance toward God. Of faith toward Jesus Christ. Bless thy ministering servants. Those here with us this evening and each one, wherever they may be. Oh, we do pray thou pour out thy Spirit upon them. Lord, do grant that thy word may be in them a springing well, as thou dost lead them and cause them to be found where thou have them to be. Oh, then may there be that taking forth of the precious from the vile. Speak in their ears in the closet and enable them to declare the same things upon the housetop. Feed them, Lord, themselves. And enable them to cast their bread, that which thou dost feed them with, upon the waters. Thou said, it shall be found after many days. Uphold them, Lord, in this labour. O Lord Jesus, thou didst say, I've spent my strength for naught, I've laboured in vain. Yet my judgment is with the Lord, and my work is with my God. Grant each one of thy servants thy Spirit, Lord. and do speak to them. When they come to that place thy servant Peter came to, Lord, we have laboured all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Oh, we pray for thy word. Lord, we do desire to do thy bidding. Lord, make us willing. Lord, enable us. Lord, be with us. Hear prayer for Britain. Do in wrath remember mercy. Deliver us from all our enemies, all those antichrists that are now abroad in the earth. And Lord, these that are within our own heart. Lord, we plead. Do we beg. Save us from enemies without, but much mightier within. Lord, do exercise us in prayer rightly against all our foes. Let us not, Lord, be distracted, but do thou show us, as thou didst the people of Judah and Jehoshaphat at their head, show us where the enemy comes up, the cliff of Zeus, so to say. And do, Lord, enable us to go forth in thy strength against those foes. Oh, do arm us, Lord, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Bless us with a thankful heart for all thy mercy to us. Truly, Lord, they are countless as the sands. For all thy temporal provision, but Lord, more especially, for the gospel of thy grace, thy unspeakable gift, thy dear Son, Lord, grant us this night some felt gratitude. Oh, may we receive those gifts, that gift, and then, Lord, surely that praise that waits for thee in Zion shall come forth, the fruit of thy dear Son. We ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. 514.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to John chapter 17, verses 25 and 26. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17, verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. All of the scriptures are the sacred word of God. But when we come to such words as these, oh, how abundantly sacred. For they are the words of that communion between the Son of God and his Father. What a blessing to the Church of God that the Holy Spirit has caused those words to be recorded. They will endure forever. Why? For in these words, the Church of God has revealed to them the will of God and hath a tiny glimpse into that which is far beyond anything earthly, that divine communion. In the book of the Proverbs, the Son of God speaks of this before he came into this world. The eternal Son of God, I was daily his delight, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. My delights were with the sons of men. Now here in this portion, the Holy Spirit has given us the words that Jesus spake to his Father when he was here upon earth and his Father in heaven. And yet, oh, because he is ever was and ever shall be the Son of God, because he is infinite. As he said when he was here on earth, the Son of Man which is in heaven. But here is recorded those words of the incarnate Son of God, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, in his sufferings, in his ignominy, in that lay before him, and he knew what lay before him, as he was just about to enter Gethsemane. O righteous Father, all the reverence. O righteous Father, you know, this is a vital point concerning these prayers of the Lord Jesus to his Father. He is teaching his children, he is teaching his people how they are to pray. When the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, how did that prayer begin which he gave them? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. O righteous Father, yes, he is the Son. O the blessed Son of God, that Son in whom all his people are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The fullness of the time God sent forth his Son made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of children. God sending forth the Spirit of His Son into their hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's no other way of sonship. There's no other way whereby a poor sinner can be a child of God. There's no other way whereby a poor sinner can be made nigh unto God, but in that way the Saviour prayed to His Father for in this chapter, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that they may be one as we are one. And in His matchless condescension that you've sung of just now, in His matchless condescension that the Son of God stooped and came down, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why, here God declares and makes known by His Spirit to His people that He raises up His people from the ruins of the fall. He comes where they were, as I believe I mentioned in prayer, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew. Oh, that dew that God causes to come upon His people. The dew of the Son of God. A morning without clouds. Thy dew is as the dew of herbs. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. How can they know Him? He had said earlier, this is life eternal, that they might know thee. None know Him without that life. Man in the fall, oh, how ignorant he is of the Father. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The world hath not known thee. Oh, the wonder then of the grace, the everlasting love of God, that any should know Him. The wonder that any should know Him. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, He saith of these. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. Yes. Oh, the Lord, keep me from saying anything improper. Oh, that mystery. Oh, that wonder. Before the worlds were made, before anything was created, in eternity, the Maker dwelt alone. The Eternal Son, the Eternal Father, the Eternal Spirit. Why, what do we know? That very little we know of that communion of the Trinity. Why, how do we know the nature, the manner, the subject of that communion is set forth in the covenant, surely. The eternal covenant, the everlasting covenant, made betwixt those three persons. I have known thee. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in love, equal in holiness, equal in grace, equal in affection toward that people. I have made with thee an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Jesus Christ, the man who is God's fellow, I have known thee. These have known that thou hast sent me. These these that he prays for, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. These his brethren, they are not of the world even as I am not of the world. These have known that thou hast sent me. Oh, if the Spirit should graciously help one here tonight, why, this may be used by God as a token to a poor sinner here tonight that they are among Christ's brethren. These have known that thou hast sent me. How is it that a sinner knows that the Father has sent his dear Son? It's not that they think it. No, we need more than that. This knowing, these have known that thou hast sent me. How is it known? Why, when the Father sends his Son to them, when the Father speaks to them of his dear Son. Did you ever, poor sinner, hear the word of the Father with some power in your soul? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. These have known that thou hast sent me. Oh, when the Spirit grants a person that blessing to believe the record that God gives of his Son. Where did the Father send his Son? He sent him from heaven. He sent him to this earth. He sent him, as we noticed this afternoon a little from Psalm 22, I am a worm and no man. Oh, he sent him what for? To fulfill his Father's law. In every jot and tittle. To do that, he must be truly man without sin. Truly under the law. But unless he were Almighty God the Son, he couldn't fulfill it. The law is spiritual. Paul says, I am carnal, sold under sin. Oh, that blessed God, man. The Father sent me to fulfill that law. Oh, poor sinner, have you ever known that the Father has sent his Son? By that blessed report, being believed by you. Isaiah says, and it's the Lord really that's speaking, who hath believed their report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? These have known that thou hast sent me. These. But, oh, let us consider for a minute these characters. These are the Lord speaks of. Just one or two examples from the Word of God. These have known. That matter Gradarene knew that his Father had sent him, didn't he? Yes. That matter Gadarene knew the divinity of the man Christ Jesus. Cast out devils. He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now no mere man could do this. The Son of God. That man in John 9, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, opening his eyes naturally. He was born blind, but then finding him. Oh, you will know that the Father sent his dear Son if the Son comes and finds you. Found him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. This is then how sinners come to know that thou hast sent me. He believed and he worshipped him. Oh, what a completely unnatural thing that is. No man ever yet believed and worshipped the Son of God, but by the Son of God coming, with the express command of his Father to a poor sinner. These have known that thou hast sent me. Oh, then those wonders that he performed, those miracles that he wrought. Oh, that dear woman taken in adultery in the very act. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? He that is without sin among you cast the first stone. They went out convicted in their own conscience. And the woman was left alone with Jesus. Doth no man condemn thee? No man, Lord. Now notice how she addressed him. No man, Lord. Oh, when the Father sends his dear Son to a poor sinner, that faith he gives them in his Lordship, they address him as such, they bow before him as such. But there was more blessing to come, wasn't there? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. These have known that thou hast sent me. These have known. These have known. Yes. Oh. Do not be surprised, child of God, if this, having known, is brought into great question. These have known. And sometimes in the Lord's people's experience, they lose sight of this and everything is brought into question. And you know, often the way the Lord takes in delivering his people from that confusion and uncertainty and doubts and fears is reminding them of what he has made himself to them. These have known. Wasn't this often a theme of the Lord's servants, and it is the Lord's theme, therefore, in the Old Testament, the remembrance. David says in that psalm he wrote at the when the ark was brought back to Jerusalem, remember his mighty works, the wonders that he hath done, and the words of his mouth, the judgments of his mouth. And the Lord promises his people that he will restore their judges as at the first and their counsellors as at the beginning. The Lord is the judge and the counsellor of his people. These have known. Oh, that they know, they feel often to be so little. 'Tis of thee I little know and are still less enjoy. Well, I believe it is like this with the Lord's people. The more they know, the more they realize they don't know. The more they know, the more they realize there is to be known. And so it is with them, under the Spirit's exercise, as it was with Paul, that I may know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto thy death. But there's something particular here that, if the Lord help me, I try to bring forth. There's something particular here that is precious to these people. In that these have known that thou hast sent me. That thou hast sent me. Oh. Though each of the eternal three are equal in their indignation of sin, in their holiness, in their righteousness, It is the Son's law as well as the Father's law that is broken by sinners. But generally speaking, in the experience of a sinner, it is the Father in his holy demands, in his justness, in the sinner feeling to be unable to approach unto him, that one is found until the Father reveals the Son to them. So this is what is precious about when they know that the Father has sent the Son, in that it is made clear to them that this Saviour, this salvation, this deliverance, this way of salvation, this mercy, this grace, this righteousness which is holy, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is according to the will of the Father. If it were not, they could not receive consolation. It could not be consolation that the Father sent me. But then since he hath sent him, the realization the Son is co-equal with him. The almighty power. None less than God's almighty Son could move such loads of sin. Oh, those tremendous, immeasurable, indescribable sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he were not the Son of God, oh, he could not have borne it. If he were not the Son of God, that blood which he shed could not have made atonement. If he were not the Son of God, why? Oh, there could not be any salvation at Calvary. These have known that thou hast sent me. Oh, has the Father spoken to you concerning his Son? Oh, it has sometimes been set forth, and I believe it is that which is the substance of what is conveyed to every sinner whom the Father teaches to approach unto him in the way in which he delights. He saith unto them, you must prevail in the name of my Son. Oh, the Father gives the poor, needy, undone, ruined, helpless, unrighteous sinner that prevailing name to plead. And I have declared unto them thy name. I have declared unto them thy name. All that the Lord Jesus spoke was in the name of his Father. That's the first way in which this word of the Lord is fulfilled. I've declared unto them thy name. The words I speak unto you, he said, I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I've declared unto them thy name. Why? The very coming of the Son is a declaration of the Father. Oh, one would ever seek to flee from trivializing any of these sacred divine things. But by way of illustration, let me put it like this. What is the proof that a man is a father? But when that man's son is seen, then there's the evidence that he is the father. And this is the proof that God is the Father of his people in the sending of his dear Son. That he is the Father of those who by nature are sinners. That he hath a fatherly love over them. That he in fatherly love chastens them. Oh, but that he hath given them an elder brother. that brother born for adversity, that brother tempted in all points like as they are, yet without sin. No, it just rested upon my spirit in before the service this evening to try to say one or two things concerning these brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why I read with you also Hebrews chapter 2. For these that he speaks of, I've declared unto them thy name. It's his brethren. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now, how are they his brethren? Both he that sanctified fieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one. He that sanctifieth is the Son. To sanctify is to set apart for the worship and the service of God. Only Christ the Son can do that. He says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. They who are sanctified are those who are born again by the Holy Spirit and given the Spirit of Christ. They are all of one. All of one. There's a oneness. Forasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that he might sanctify his people, deliver them from all their ruin, raise them out of all their carnality, deliver them from all their sins, all their ungodliness, all their enmity. The Son of God was made man without sin. The same flesh and blood without sin. Oh, that stoop. Why the purpose in this? That through death, and it's through death, through his death, that they are sanctified. Through death he should deliver them. He might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But it says they're all of one. He took their nature that they might receive his. They're all of one. This speaks of the new man. The new man. Joseph Hart says, the feeblest soul shall hell subdue where Jesus Christ is born. Where Jesus Christ is born. Where he comes and is formed in a poor sinner's heart. The hope of glory. Behold, says the Lord in the prophecy of Jeremiah, how long dost thou go about, O backsliding daughter? Behold, I will do a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. The woman is the church. The man is Christ. It speaks of the virgin birth, but it also speaks of that that Paul writes when he said that you might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, it was particularly the way in which in a believer's experience this truth that they are the Lord's brethren is made manifest. Firstly, Oh, the fear of God that the Lord Jesus Christ had. The fear of God. Now his brethren have that same fear. Only through him. That fear, that esteem, that reverence, that looking to him, that fleeing to him in trouble, all that trusting in him, the fear of God. But then, the sorrow for sin. His brethren, in a tiny measure, know the sorrow for sin that their elder brother Christ knew in the fullness. The head, Christ. Oh, how can there be union between such a head and a member that is quite opposite with regard to this matter of sin? I can't remember the exact words, but there's a line or a couplet of a hymn that touches on this, that speaks of what union can there be between a head so soft his heart like wax and a member as hard as a stone. No union. But you see, the softening of the member comes from the head. There's no other way. What a blessing then, brethren. But then, and it seemed to come to me in a way as tying in with this afternoon's consideration, Psalm 22. Brethren, oh, the Saviour, how he pleaded with his Father. How he suffered being forsaken by his Father. How he suffered the hiding of his Father's face. How he suffered the exercise and the trial of his prayers not appearing to be answered. My brethren, the trial of faith. He says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. You see, it's only his brethren that know this. A professor of religion, all they've got to do, they think, is pray a few words and they've got an answer, they think, straight away. Always believing, never doubting, never troubled with unbelief, always professing to have such great love. They're not Christ's brethren, are they? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Oh, the brethren. The fellowship with him in his sufferings. Are you tempted? So was he. Those temptations which are peculiar to the Son of God and his people. There's none other that are tempted if thou be the Son of God. Oh, these children, these brethren, how they are tempted concerning their sonship. Oh, the adversary's subtle guile. We have not an high priest, said Paul, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And then, a point directly from the text this afternoon that I didn't enlarge upon. He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. I spoke of it as the affliction of Christ. But then, these his brethren, they have the same affliction in measure that Christ has. And therefore the word is true of them as it is of their elder brother. He doth not despise nor abhor the affliction of the afflicted. Oh, there is, as there was no affliction of Christ that his father despised or abhorred, so there's no affliction of his people that the son and the father despises or abhors. He abhors the sin, but he doesn't abhor the affliction. No. Oh, he rather delights in that affliction as the heavenly, divine, loving physician looking upon a poor, sick soul. And what does the Lord say to them as he set forth regarding those sick Israelites? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. And will declare it. Oh, there's a promise then of further declaration. Why? The continuing declaration of the name of the Father by the dear Son of God. Through life, and then in heaven in eternity. Why, the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them to the fountain of living waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from off their faces. I have declared unto them thy name. He declares unto them that God is love. Oh, wherein is that truth declared but in the manifestation of the Son of God? Oh, sinner, have you ever worshipped God in the person of his Son and proved there is love and there alone? Because the Son declaring his Father, declaring his Father's will, declaring his Father's love, declaring his Father's delight in himself, declaring his Father's acceptance of his finished work. He says in one place to his people, the Father himself loveth you. Why? Because ye have loved me and have known that I came out from him. Yes, the Father himself loveth you. It's because he loves you, poor child of God, that you were brought to love his Son. Philip said, didn't he, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not seen me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Why sayest thou then, show us the Father? The Son is the express image of the Father. The express image. The love of the Father shines in his dear Son. The holiness of the Father, the righteousness of the Father, the compassion of the Father, the faithfulness of the Father, the mercy of the Father, the wisdom of the Father. Why? Christ is the very expression of the will of God toward his people. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shines in the hearts of these people when the Son declares his Father unto them. Has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sweet majesty and awful love on his brow. Oh, I have declared unto them thy name. Just to try to look back for a moment in the chapter. Oh, in one place in this sacred chapter, the Lord Jesus says, I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Now, what a miracle that is. They have received them. The entrance of the Word of God into a sinner's heart. Oh, how that clearly sets forth and gives that person to experience salvation. Why the heart that is by nature shut up against God. The poor sinner that has felt their heart to be shut up in unbelief. Their soul refusing to be comforted. Oh, but where the Saviour speaks. Oh, the difference. Oh, I think of that word in the prophet, and it is also in the New Testament as well, I believe. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. And he shall open and none shall shut, and shut and none shall open. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Now in the fullness of this declaration, since it is the name of the Father, is the spirit of adoption given. Oh, if the Son speak to you in this way, the words of his Father, that's the way of adoption. When the Son declares to a poor sinner that the Father hath given thee to me, and I have kept thee, I have redeemed thee, by my precious blood thou art mine. Sending forth the Spirit of his Son into a poor sinner's heart. Oh, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. As a promise then, he will declare it. Oh, abide in me, he said, and I in thee. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine no more can ye except ye abide in me. Oh, how this people need him to keep declaring the name of his Father. Oh, why is it they need him to keep declaring this name? They're such treacherous sinners. They've got such ungodly natures. They're such wretched men. Oh, they left to themselves get so far from God. But the Son here says, I will declare it. Oh, the distance. If I may put it like that, the distance over which he sometimes declares the name of his Father to a poor sinner. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. My bowels are moved for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. How shall I give thee up? 'Tis Jesus speaks the word. I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy living God. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me. That love of the Father of his Son, immeasurable love, everlasting love, unchangeable love, strong as death. Oh, that pure love, it's this love. Divine love, the love of God, unchangeable love, strong love, love that bears all things. Oh, not all the wandering of his people's hearts can make the love of this one from her depart. It's a holy love. There's no sin in this love. It's an attracting love. The love of Christ constrains, it allures. The love wherewith thou hast loved me. Oh, it's the same love. Toward his brethren. May be in them. It comes to them then. It is poured into their heart by the Son speaking unto them, declaring the name of the Father unto them, declaring his grace, declaring his love, declaring his purpose, declaring that for his sake, for the Son's sake, thy sins, child of God, are forgiven. Declaring that this love was such that he loved thee even when thou wast dead in trespasses and sins. That the love wherewith thou hast loved may be in them. That same love may be in them. And if this love is in them, it's evidenced by that love to God. John said we love him because he first loved us. Oh, and what first made you, child of God, begin to love God? Was it not in the declaration of the love and the mercy and the grace of God, in the declaration of the gospel by his dear Son? Oh, that God that you felt so afraid of, that God who you had a slavish fear of even, that God who you felt to flee from. Oh, when he declared his purpose of grace and mercy by his dear Son, oh, you saw God in a completely different light. You fled to him. You loved him. Oh, for what he spoke, for the gospel that was preached. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, you said, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Oh, the effect of this. Have you known the child of God does from time to time know the transforming effect of this word? One moment the heart can be completely destitute of love to God, sunk in the love of sin, self-pity, rebellion, whatever sin it may be, idolatry. But the Lord, in the person of his Son, coming and speaking, some word of the gospel, some word of his grace, some word of invitation, some word of divine call, and the scene was changed in a moment. Whereas before, you couldn't let go of everything else. The effect of this, your hands are loosed of everything else, and your soul flees after God. He put in his hand, said the spouse, by the hole of the door my bowels were moved for him. I went out into the streets and lanes of the city, saying, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Now that putting his hand in by the hole of the door is when God, Christ does what he says here, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. When he declares to a poor sinner that God is merciful. When he declares a poor sinner that though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. When he declares to them the truth, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And it's love that moves that sinner after him. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis holiness, 'tis all. The love wherewith us love me may be in them, and I in them, and I in them. Christ in a sinner. Oh, what an unworthy dwelling. What a glorious guest. What a favour astonishing, divine. What a searching point. Oh, what do we know of this? This is the will of God. I in them. I in them. He says, I am glorified in them. Why is glorified? When it is seen that Jesus has come to this poor sinner and has changed them. You know, for if Jesus is in us, as he says here, I in them, there must be a great change. They took knowledge of those apostles that they had been with Jesus. The great change, I in them. I in them. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Dwelling in his people's hearts by faith. Oh, this is I in them. Why, when he speaks, when he declares unto them the truth concerning himself and his Father, it enters, and it's there by faith. And it is himself, so that it is a living, saving knowledge of the truth that that sinner heart has, because they have the living Saviour in them. It is by him in them that there are those fruits brought forth. It is by him in them that they are constrained to go in the way of his commandments. It is by him in them that they mourn over sin. It is by him in them that they pray unto the Father in his name. It is by him in them that they choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It is because he is in them that they have to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? Oh, when the Holy Lord Jesus is within a sinner, how he shows the uncleanness of the place. But I in them to cleanse that place, to cleanse it by giving that faith to flee every time sin defiles to the precious fountain of his sin-atoning blood. And I in them, calming those fears. It's giving that peace. He is our peace, said the apostle. Now that's not a human calm. May the Lord deliver us from all deception. This peace is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's not a human calm whereby the troubles are forgotten. It's a divine peace wherein all the troubles are overcome, because the Saviour has borne all those griefs, all carried all his people's sorrows, and borne their sins away. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now, just try to close like this. The Saviour's words here. Do they not give to poor, needy sinners the plea, since this is the will of God, since this therefore is essential, but since this is what the Son prayed to his Father for, why, the poor sinner may ask God to grant that he would send his Son to speak to them, and to send his Son to shed abroad that love, and to send his Son himself into my heart, so that I am not myself. Do you know what I mean? So I believe when the Lord comes and blesses a person with this, I in them, they lose themselves. And what a blessed loss that is. To lose themselves in Jesus Christ. To have those true feelings that you feel, well, I could never feel this before. To have that love and you feel, I could never love like this before. To have that joy and you realise I could never produce this joy myself. I never found this joy from all the things I tried to nurture it with. And this peace. And this submission. And this delight in the Father's will. I in them. 'Tis God that worketh in you. I will walk in them, said the Lord, and dwell in them. Amen.
Collections today are for the Gospel Standard Bethesda Fund, Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn 730. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. 730.
Do bless to us thy word, make it to remain with us. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Forgive what has been amiss in thy pure and holy sight. Keep us each safe now as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.